I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Please be advised that Little Miss Recap contains adult language. Hi everyone, welcome to Little Miss Recap, the podcast where we... I got nothing. We cover prison shows, we love prison shows, we're obsessed with prison shows, and we are so psyched to welcome back...
Love During Lockup.
I missed it.
I want nothing to do with that Mama June hullabaloo. I have no interest.
No.
I want 24, well, not 24-7. I want 365 rolling of love, lockup love.
See, I don't...
After, before, in, whatever.
Okay, let me introduce myself. Guys, I'm Amy Arch. I'm the host of Little Miss Recap. I'm here with Amanda Lipnack-Raydell, my co-host, who is the wind beneath my wings. I've been using that a lot, but it's true.
You have. I told Todd you said that the other day, and he was like, she did not.
I did say it.
I know.
I did say it. Were you obsessed with the movie Beaches?
Of course. Of course. We've talked about this. Yes.
Jesus
Christ. That's a Gen X movie we should do. I'm telling you, we need to do a Gen X movie. We need Terms of Endearment. We need this.
I mean, Beaches was everything to me.
It was so good.
It was so good. Terms of Endearment was wonderful, too. I mean, there's so much.
The thing when I think about Beaches, I think about just how freaking sad it was and we cried. I also think of that weird, like, Mr. Roboto thing that Bette Midler did. Do you remember that? In one of her numbers, like when she was struggling to make it, she does this like weird industrial
yes, in the 80s.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah. There's no time in which that would fit.
Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
It's just so sweet. Like, I don't know. I've been feeling very nostalgic lately for the period of time before cell phones and all that kind of stuff. Like, Timmy and I were talking about this the other day. We were talking about kids' sports because our daughter's in lacrosse. And it's just the way, like, she just has no time to breathe.
Yeah.
They have to practice 5 days a week, 3 hours a day. When she has to miss practice for work, she has to record herself on the treadmill, record herself playing wall ball. Like, it's crazy.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And, like, these guys haven't won one game. So, like, you know.
We're not working on our national championship.
No, these young ladies
are not Yellow Jackets, is what you're saying.
They're not going to a D something school. They're going to an E school, like their mother.
Got it.
So, I'm like, she has
fun, and that's all that matters.
She has a ton of fun. And what we were saying, and I was saying to him, is, like, this is the only way they get outside, because when we wanted to see our friends and connect, we had to leave the house and go see them. They have their friends with them on their devices all the time. I go in their rooms and half the time they're on FaceTime.
Oh, yeah.
And they're doing stuff with their friends.
Yep.
So it's like, this is one of the last kind of,
I don't know.
Vestiges. Is that the right word I'm looking for?
Yeah. I feel like kids just don't get a childhood anymore.
They really don't, and it's sad.
It is.
It really is. Guys, if you want to hear more of my hot takes on parenting, you're gonna be wanting to sign up for our Patreon, Supercast, or Apple subscriptions, because at the $12 tier for Gen X Corner, Tess and I, Tess Brigham from Psych Legal Pop. She gave me a mnemonic device to remember it, and I'll tell you in a minute.
Okay.
We did Won't You Be My Neighbor?
Yeah, I can't wait to listen to that.
And we talked a lot about child raising and parenthood because Tess really, she specializes in working with millennials.
Yeah.
So when it gets to the portion of the film where a certain news channel is blaming Mr. Rogers for the downfall of society.
Jesus
and it's Christ. Not MSNBC or CNN or no, it's news not. Or, you know, whatever. Tess is like, no, here's what's changed in parenting. Boom, 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 boom. Like, it was a really good conversation.
I love it.
I so I encourage you guys to listen. So she told me they named it after kind of like the crack snap. Help me. The Rice Krispies.
Snap, crackle, pop.
Snap, crackle, pop. Got so I said, well, that will help because now I'll always remember pop is at the end.
Got it. Got it. Yeah.
There we go. There we go. Yeah. Guys, I'm a mnemonic device person. I really am. Like, I need something to anchor thoughts in my mind.
Yeah, I have some of that. I remember being a kid when my dad was in medical school and all of medical school is mnemonic devices.
Oh, yeah. All of it.
And so he would tell me all the ones like for body systems or drugs. Yeah.
Do you remember any of those?
No, I do not.
So, guys, if you're hearing this on the free feed, this is your Try Before You Buy, which I totally stole from Reality Gaze. Mm-hmm. TM, love you. Now I'm TMing my steal.
Right. I'm trademarking.
I don't know if that works. No, I'm trademarking the act of the steal.
I feel like Jake and Matt would support that.
I've stolen it from Jake and Matt, and no one else can now because I've trademarked the steal.
Right, exactly. So no one else can do this other than us and them. You're all screwed. Sorry,
but they do a Try Before You Buy, and I think that's a great idea. And
particularly for a new show.
Yeah. So we're doing that now. So if you're hearing this and you want to hear the whole season with us, please sign up for Apple subscriptions, Supercast, Patreon. I will say, too, where did you watch this?
We watched it on our television as it was happening.
Oh, so WeTV, you get it.
Yes.
Okay. All
right. Yes. So we are, because this is always a big question, how the hell do people watch this? Mm-hmm. So we used to be YouTube TV people. It got super expensive. So we just downgraded to Sling. We do the Sling Blue package because the orange was a lot of sports. But just so folks know, if like you're super sportsy, Sling can cover that. There's two packages. We do the non-sportsy one because we don't care. As long as Todd can watch football, he doesn't care about any other sports. On there, you can do a like premium subscription to WeTV. Mm. It is $6 a month.
Is it worth it?
For this?
I mean, for me, it's worth it. For me,
this show is 100% worth it. Yeah. $6 a month, not a big deal. I mean, not a big deal for us. We're lucky $6 a month we can absorb very easily.
Yeah.
Not very easily. Actually, right now we can't absorb very easily, but we can absorb it.
Right.
Anyway, long story short, that is one place to watch it. You can get subscriptions to like the All Black app.
Yes.
Or the WeTV app. But those are also like five or six.
Month too.
Yeah. I feel like almost any way you pay for it, you're going to pay about $6.
Yeah. And it's worth it to me. I told you all along, Love During Lockup or Love After Lockup or Life After Lockup is the only reality show I have to watch immediately.
Mm-hmm. I know. You are, I feel the same way. I'm more 90 day in that realm than you are.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I talked about this. Like we went on a Lalu journey.
Yeah.
Like a year and a half ago. And that was like all we were watching all the time. Here's the thing, guys. If you've never watched this franchise, this is a perfect time to jump in. All of these people are new.
Yes,
you
they
don't
are.
Have to know a single thing about these
and
people.
And some of them will carry over.
Absolutely. I'm sure. Because they always do Love During Lockup, Love After Lockup. So it's the process of them getting out.
Mm-hmm.
And then Life After Lockup is kind of 90 Day Fiancé's version of HEA. Like it's kind of that.
Just, you know, what's way happened trashier.
After.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Way trashier. Yes.
Yeah. The production is trashier. Everything is trashy. And we love it. And we're here for it.
It is. But it's interesting because they're both Matt Sharp joints. And the feel of both shows is very different. Like 90 Day feels very different than the Lockup.
Mm-hmm. And I do feel the reason this is one of my favorite shows is I feel, I don't know, this is going to sound weird when I say this, but I feel like it's relatable to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot of people live in, you know, lower socioeconomic areas where addiction is rampant. And, you know, like I know that's where I come from.
Mm-hmm.
And I always talk about this. Like I have family members in jail. I have, you know, friends who've gone to jail. My husband went to jail to play chess apparently for 2 weeks. So like I just feel like there's more, there's a lot of relatable stuff here. If you dig down to it, do you know what I mean? If you get down to it, there's a lot of personal trauma, family trauma, generational trauma, all that stuff.
As Matt and Jake say, like, it's funny unless you think about it.
Right.
Like, in some ways, you don't want to think about these stories too hard. But I also think the thinking about them is really interesting because most of these folks, it's mental illness, it's addiction, it's poverty. It's not people being bad.
Right. Exactly.
Not bad people. Yes. It's people in bad circumstances.
Yes. And when you grow up with people who have been in similar circumstances, you understand that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's generational. Absolutely.
Yep.
So,
all right. So let's do Love During Lockup. And this is season 5. Now, my screener said that's episode 23. So for those of you who are new to the franchise,
buckle in for numbering.
They don't have their shit together with the seasons. I think anyway, that this is because of contractual stuff with people.
Could be.
If that's the case, there's no holdover here. So why aren't we starting at episode one?
Right. I don't know. I truly feel like there's some like coked up 3-year-old who just numbered this shit. It's the same people design a Wawa parking lot. If you're from the area of Wawa, you know that a Wawa parking lot is also a crazy place.
I gotcha.
I feel like the numbering, this is crazy.
I gotcha.
Coked up toddler.
So we're going to start with Joey and Michael.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's start there.
So Joey is 46 and a real estate brokerage coordinator. And Michael is 40. That's a hard 40.
That is a really hard 40.
And
And in every picture, he looks slightly different.
Yes.
He does not seem to have a consistent look.
Yeah. And he is in jail for intent to deliver and drug trafficking. And these yokels are in Boise, Idaho. Joey lives with his parents. And at first you're like, oh, okay. This is nice. Yeah.
Okay.
So they're doing a video call, him and Michael. And Michael just got back from the gym and he's real horny. He's so horny. Like, whoa.
What's hilarious is we know he's like in some camera room somewhere.
Yes.
Like he's a room with a bunch of other people saying this, basically wanting to sext.
And I will tell you too, guys, this is the first gay couple we've had.
There has been a lesbian couple. But,
right. We had
Amber and Puppy.
Thank you.
Who knows if whoever knew what was really going on with the two of them. There was something.
Poor Puppy's back in jail.
I know.
And so is Eric the monster.
Well, I'm fine with Eric being back in jail. He was terrified. Yeah. But it's also Amanda and Brittany.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I think Brittany's bi, right?
Brittany is bi.
Right. Yeah. She started a cleaning business, by the way. If you're in the Las Vegas area. Or is she in Florida now?
Florida.
Is she in Florida? If you're in Florida, get your floors cleaned.
My sweet husband sent that to me because we both think Brittany is a stunner. And I'm like,
she's gorgeous.
We can hire her to clean our house. That'd be
there
fine.
There you go. That's not exploitative at all.
Not
we're just going to hire her to wipe down the counters and we're going to stare at her.
Right. But I'll pay her for her time. Terrible.
So Joey says he came out at 30 years old and he had dated women and hid his sexuality. He says it's refreshing to be in love with a dude in prison and to be able to say it.
He seems sweet, but I'm afraid he's not.
Well, we're getting there.
I know.
So, Joey's parents are Emil and Linda, spelled with a Y, of course.
Of course.
And
I wonder how Denise with a Y is. They keep posting stuff for their
gruffleness. Aren't they still together?
I think they're still together.
Okay. So they're the parents, and they're just chilling in the living room. They got an 80s Afghan in the background that I absolutely had. Mm-hmm. Is that what you call it, an Afghan?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So
today we would call it a throw blanket. Back in the day, it was an Afghan.
Yeah, that's why I called it an Afghan, because it looked like it was from the 80s.
Yes, it did.
Okay. So Joey had a bout of depression, he says, 10 years ago. And his parents invited him to live with them until he got back on his feet. And I'm thinking, oh, that's sweet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, what else are you going to do? Your kid's struggling. Come home till you get back on your feet.
But that was 10 years ago. And he's still there. So he met Michael 6 years ago on a popular dating app. Joey was being slutty. He was slutting around like you do. Nothing wrong with that.
No shame.
And he forgot about him. He's like, we banged a couple times. I moved on with my life. Whatever. Right. But then they reconnected right before Michael got locked up. Now, I said Michael looks like Red from That 70s Show.
Yes. Yes, he does.
He looks like it, the actor's name is Kurtwood Smith. And that actor always scares me. I think he was in something where he was mean in the 80s.
He was the father in Dead Poets Society.
Thank you. Neil's father. Neil's father. Thank you. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Do you see how my body remembered that?
Yes. That was visceral for you.
Yes, it was.
That was a visceral memory. Yes, yeah, no, I remember that so vividly.
I knew to be afraid of him. Dead Poets Society, fantastic movie.
One of the greatest movies of all
time. Taylor's album, fantastic as well.
Okay, so I've heard mixed reviews on this situation. I didn't even know. Like I said to you, the reason I know most Taylor Swift is because of the Ryan Adams cover album. So there's that.
1984, yes.
Yeah.
So he says he's the only, Michael now is talking, and tells us he's the only openly gay man in his block, mm-hmm. and that makes him popular. And everyone loves Joey. Everyone. Joey's hot stuff around the block.
Is he?
I don't know. He says, I'm lucky to have snagged a stable, mature man like Joey. I wrote, who's hiding in his parents' childhood bedroom, like in his parents' bedroom. So
the
Joey
thing is, for Michael, this is stable. And like,
it is.
This is aspirational for him.
It is. Yeah, absolutely. So Joey is a bottom. He tells us, and
he's real clear about that.
Yeah, and he has a high sex drive.
Yes, he does.
And Michael's a top, and he has Perfect. Some real top energy.
Yes,
because he's like, oh, I'm so horny. I'm so horny all the time. Like, dude, slow down. We learn that he's getting out in 6 to 8 months. So for some reason, now I didn't understand this because Matt Sharp, what are you doing? This is a failure in storytelling.
Okay.
I'm like, for some reason, the prisoners want to see a picture of Joey and Michael from before incarceration, but that becomes clearer later.
Yes.
That he needs to prove they knew each other in order to go see him in the prison.
Right, exactly. It can't just be an internet buddy thing. They only let you know, like, see people that you actually really know.
Right. Which is, I don't feel like we've seen that before.
No. I mean, we know a lot of these yokels show up from dating, you know.
Yeah, let's hope other prisons do not follow suit here.
Or
this could kill the franchise.
Could totally kill the franchise. Or they are the type of prison that let, you know, people who write them letters to teach them poetry come visit them.
Yes. So Joey, you know I would be there.
I know
Joey is like, I don't know why I can't just come in. Like, he's confused. And Michael's like, look, it's a way to safeguard against drugs being smuggled in. Like, you don't know. I could say I met you, blah, blah, blah. And now I'm starting to wonder, is it because it's a same-sex couple?
Maybe. I wonder that.
And that is problematic.
That's a problem if that is the reason.
So Joey's
maybe
like,
it's just a regulation of this prison. I don't know.
Joey's like, I'm just going to Photoshop myself into some photos with you.
What could possibly go wrong? I'm sure these people have never seen Photoshop photos in their life. And I'm sure that Joey is an expert Photoshopper. Never know. Probably a little better than a Princess Kate.
Do you remember, I don't know what storyline it belonged to, but somebody taught us how you smuggle the nudes into prison. You send them a picture of your computer screen, and then the little pictures at the bottom in the little roll, you're naked.
Exactly. I want to say that was like Santiba. It was some random
Saltwife?
It might have been Saltwife, because it turns out a lot of people do this. It's like kind of a known way of doing it. But I feel like she's the one who introduced the idea.
Yeah, like I didn't know at the time.
I didn't know that. That makes perfect sense. Mm-hmm. It would never occur to me, though, because I'm not trying to smuggle naked pictures into a prison.
Give me time.
Yeah.
So Joey says he's worried Michael is a career criminal and I don't want that lifestyle. But Michael has a hold on me.
I think
we see what it is. Because he's like, oh, I just want to get in there and fucking tear you up.
Uh-huh.
So
I don't think Joey has ever had someone this quote unquote hot. He perceives Michael to be hot. I don't, but he does. It's fine. We all have our taste.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's ever had someone this hot, this into him.
He's real into him.
And the thing is, Michael can put all of his energy on Joey because what else does he have to do all day?
Exactly. We see this a lot. The love
bombing. Joey is sending him money.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So now, you know, Joey says worst case scenario is they discover that I doctored a photo and they shut down all contact. That's what I'm afraid of. then he says in this confessional, and it's really intense, he's like, you know, Michael always says that I saved him, but he saved me too. And we saved each other. And he starts crying.
Yeah.
That's an intense bond.
It is an intense bond. Mm-hmm. I mean, I believe that these two really have a legit relationship.
Healthy. I believe it too.
I'm not sure it's the healthiest thing, but they are legit. It's into a legit each thing. Other.
Yep. Yeah. Joey comes home now. We see him, you know, diddling home from work. Da, 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 da. And he's throwing a frozen pizza in the oven for dad.
As you do.
Yep. Dad is so sweet. And he's telling dad, you know, we need to do this picture to prove that we knew each other so I could see Michael. Dad's like, yeah, how's it going? And then he's like, you know, we need to get to know Michael a little bit before we make any judgment. But dad is willing to meet him.
His parents seem open and lovely. And his father is trying to be a cautionary tale.
Yes. Dad is like, you know, oh, this could be like a modern day Chaucer.
Oh, it could.
And we could have the prisoner's tale.
Yes.
And then then like you have an idiot like this other douchebag in New Jersey, the Mark's tale. Like, you know, you're the Mark and you're sending some hot woman in prison all your money.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, he's a real
this
Mark.
Is a modern
this
day
is a real Canterbury tale.
Canterbury
over here.
Tales. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So we learned that Michael was in the Navy. And dad really appreciates that.
Sure.
And Joey says, you know, Michael came home and started using right after the Navy. So again, we're seeing some like untreated PTSD probably.
It's people handling their mental health challenges in the most effective way given their circumstances, and it's drugs.
Right, because they have no access to anything better. They have no access to mental
health care. Yeah. So he might have being a Navy vet, but not a ton. It's not great.
Yeah, and we all know the story about the backlog and how you have to wait. And yeah,
I have a friend who's a psychologist at the VA.
Really?
Yeah.
He or she?
She.
Can you get her working on the backlog?
I could ask her to. Could ask her to.
Please ask her to do that.
Yeah.
And can you ask
her? Faster.
Can you ask her if she can reach out to Michael?
Yes.
Okay.
Can you talk faster, please, so you can get through the backlog quicker? Can you fix these people quicker? Come on.
That's a real dick move on my part. Just call her up and ask her to work faster.
Exactly. Get it together.
So dad, we learn, is a recovering alcoholic, and so is Joey.
Yeah.
And he says when he was a teen, he started drinking, and it helped him with the shame of being gay. And he's
tale
so
as old as time. Like, none of this is surprising.
No. Mm-mm. Joey's sober off of alcohol for 12 years.
Good job.
And this is where, you know, you didn't have a slight bout of depression that landed you at your parents' house. You had a slight bout of meth addiction.
Right. Exactly. a touch of the meth addiction.
He's like, yeah, I started using meth. And he said he almost died one night. And that's when he went to live with his parents because he hit rock bottom.
Good. Okay. I mean,
he's doing well.
I am too.
Glad he's doing well. So dad says, we're cons, you know, that's my fear. We con people. He's talking about addicts in general.
Right. Yep.
And he
and
says,
he's not wrong.
He says, the proof is in the pudding.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And he says, we need to see that he has changed. And Joey says, my dad always says we are as sick as our secrets.
Okay. That's straight AA language. Sure.
Yep. And I'm hiding a secret right now from my family. Amanda, what do you think it is?
Either he's using something.
Oh, God, I hope not. I hope not. I hope not.
I hope not, too. Or like, he and Michael have some grand plan of, like, as soon as Michael gets out, they're, I don't know, moving to Spain or something. Like,
oh, maybe that's it. He's leaving the parents' house.
Right.
He's got to move out, and he's got to get the apartment ready.
He's got some crazy plan going with Michael that's not going to be a healthy plan.
Yeah.
But they've cooked up something.
Because if you guys don't watch, if you're new to this franchise, like, it seems to be that in order for these people to parole somewhere, it has to be an established address.
Right.
So Joey might have to go now. If Michael's getting out in 6 to 8 months, he might have to go in like 3 months or so and establish
a real setup place. Yeah. Yep.
Hey everyone, stay tuned. Little Miss Recap will be right back after these words.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/acast. That's burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
All right, let's bop on over to Teenie and Rob.
Oh, yes. Yes, let's talk about Teenie.
Teenie, 33, is a stay-at-home mom.
How are you a stay-at-home mom with no partner?
Yeah, that's interesting.
I always wonder that. Mm-hmm. What's happening there? How are we paying for anything?
And Rob, 34, is in prison for robbery with a firearm.
Sure.
And they're in Yukon, Oklahoma.
I'm really hoping that Matt has some Yukon, Oklahoma stories.
Yes, he may.
I'm hoping something is near.
He may. Let's hope.
Some Southern story.
So Rochelle, Teenie's friend, bops by to see how this whole Rob situation is shaken out. She's like, what's going on with this joker?
Her friend realizes that there's a problem here.
Teenie says they've been married for 4 years now.
Uh-huh.
Rob is serving an 18-year sentence. He was 18 when he went in, and he is now on year 16. Amanda, what's that math? 18 plus 16. What does that make him? 34?
34, yes.
Okay. So he says when he first got in, he was wild, but now he has something to live for. Mm-hmm.
Well, it makes sense they're the same age because they go to high school together or something. So, like, yeah, of course.
I think so. Yeah, yeah, they did. They did. I just didn't know, like, are they in the same grade? How much time has passed? Yeah. So they went to high school together, like you said, and they dated briefly, and then they lost contact. Okay. And he says, they reconnected through a happy birthday message on Facebook. Those happy birthday messages, they'll get you every time.
You ain't kidding, sister.
They'll get you every time. Mm-mm. So he affectionately calls her Big Head.
Is that like large wife?
I don't know, but I have a big head. And if Timmy started calling me that, I would start crying.
As soon as she said big head, I was like, yep, Amy's going to have Amy's going to feel this.
It's going to trigger me a little bit.
A little bit.
Okay. So get ready for this one, guys. Rob has wired her entire house with cameras.
Okay.
Amanda. Okay. Yeah.
And I like that she really seems to be deluding herself that this is about security.
Yep.
She's never met somebody who's so invested in her security.
He just wants to keep her safe, Amanda.
No, honey. No, no. No, no, no. And we know that that's not true as soon as he sees Rochelle there and is like, who is this? Why didn't you tell me? Why is she here? What's going on?
Listen, Amanda, how dare you?
I'm sorry.
Now he can watch from prison, and if somebody breaks in, he can do... Oh, that's right. He can't do anything about it.
He can't do
anything. Can't even call 911.
No, he can't. What's he going to do? Start, like banging on his, like, bars, trying to get a... He can't do anything.
If this was about her security, that feed would go to, like, an ADT center or something.
Correct.
It wouldn't be secure feeding alert or something into his jail cell. Yes. Yes.
And the fact that she'll just, like, you know, wake up in the middle of the night and she'll be like, hey, baby. He's like, I'm right here.
Oh, my God. Oh. What the fuck? He's like the omniscient narrator. He's just everywhere. I would use this tool for so much fuckery, I can't even tell you. I would, if I were Rob.
Right, you'd be an agent of chaos with this.
If I were Rob in the jail cell, I'd be fucking with these kids. I'd be pretending I was a ghost. I would be trying to gaslight people. Like, I would just be crazy.
I saw you pick your nose, but I saw it. Yes. I saw it on the camera.
Oh, my God. I would be causing so much. You can never give me a tool like this.
No, you cannot be trusted. I, however, would just watch.
Ooh, just silently.
Watch. Jesus Christ. That's even scarier. I'm so scary.
That just sums up our personalities. Like, I would totally blow my load with this thing, and you would be like just sitting back and waiting and for
waiting for my moment. Yes. My moment to spring into action.
So there's even
this is healthy. What, regardless, this relationship very healthy.
There's even cameras in the closet.
But Amy, it's fine because they're not in her bathroom or the kids' room. So it's fine.
Thank fucking God they're not in the kids' rooms, or this would be a different show.
Chris Hansen would make an appearance.
Yes. Jesus. I have said before, I don't know what show we are covering, where I said, I think it was with Ace and Caitlin, where I said, I would love Chris Hansen. Like, if I were him, mm-hmm. I would just walk into people's kitchens.
I would too. I just randomly walk
with a fake camera. House. Just be like, hey, what's up?
Right. And have everyone be like, because you could tell if there's a problem. People are like,
yeah. Oh, fuck.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
Oh, why are you here?
Yep. Or somebody starts to run.
Yes. Go there get him.
All right.
That's the way to catch all pornographers. Just have Chris Hansen walk through the world.
That's it.
And the bad guys will run away.
We have a guy here locally who does this. He has a YouTube channel and he catches child predators. And the way that he does it is he does his own shakedown online, right? He has a team.
Right.
And he goes to their house, knocks on their door, and like tells their wife and shit, and like confronts them, and then the police are called. It's wild.
Why aren't we interviewing this guy?
I don't want to get involved in this. I can't get involved.
This is to catch a predator. Lackawanna County.
he mostly works out of Wilkes-Barre, which we'll see later.
Yes, we will.
So Rob says, the prison kind of lets me do whatever. I'm a big deal in here.
He's a real big deal.
Yeah.
Big deal. He says,
they know I'm a shot caller and I need to have a phone. Oh, so they do let him have a phone. So maybe he called the police if she's attacked.
Maybe. But what is this guy doing in prison that he is this kind of like ringleader? It's not good. I have no clue.
This guy is not good.
This guy is scary.
He's scary. So Teeny tells the camera,
I think he's kind of hot.
Oh, well, do you think he's kind of hot? Yeah, okay. Of course. Okay. He's hot. Okay. Yeah. So Teeny tells the camera, no one seems to understand this, but you know, like we wake up every day and we choose to love each other. Now we see, and this is a decision that I've made, Amanda's fully on board with. There's some kids in this stuff.
Yeah, we're not doing kid names.
We are not doing kid names. We're going to call them daughter, son, kid, kid, whatever. Okay. Because these parents can choose to put their kids all over the screen. I don't need to talk about it. So she has a tween girl and a little boy. They're not Rob's, but he treats them as if they are.
They seem like sweet kids.
They really do.
I'm sad that they're being,
me too,
you know, put through this whole thing.
So they're going to visit him, and the daughter is not happy. She's got some real teen energy happening here. She's like, I don't want to do this. This is like when I'm taking my kids on vacation. Right. No, we don't want to do this.
No, or, I don't want to go to the beach.
Or knock, knock, knock. What? Can I wash some of your clothes for you? Get away from me! So I get this energy, feeling it. So he calls as they're on their way there, and they're doing the, hi, daddy, we miss you. And he's all serious, and he's like, we need to talk when you get here.
Okay. What's going to happen? Okay. What do you think it is?
He has a secret. He says he's hiding from her. He's getting out later than he thinks.
I think he's got other charges. Remember how we've had times where people have gone from like a county.
State to federal and county.
They're jumping through jurisdictions because they've got charges in a bunch of places.
Yeah.
I have a feeling he's got more charges that he has to serve time for.
Do you think he caught more charges?
I think he caught more charges, as they say.
All right. Okay. So they have their visit. Of course, cameras aren't allowed. So on the way home in the car, he's on the speakerphone again because he can't leave these people alone.
This is so weird.
And he's talking about how they kissed and how he's keeping that chocolate cake in his mouth. And the kids are like vomiting all over the car.
Of course they are. This is disgusting. I don't want to hear this. And it's not my mother.
Right.
If that were my mother, I'd want to like throw myself off a building.
It's the way he's talking about it.
It is. It is. Not
like Timmy.
Sweet, I love you. I think you're beautiful. I was so happy to hold you. Even that is a little too far, but okay.
Timmy and I joke around a lot in front of the girls. Like, we tease them and we'll be like, oh, do you want to go make out? Like, mm-hmm. making out is the farthest thing we say. Timmy's right. not like, oh, I want to get a piece of your ass tonight. Like, no, no, no. No.
Nope. And then you over and go to Pound Town. No. Not in front of the kids.
Not in the laundry room while Riva's eating her snack.
With Abigail.
Abigail.
Does Timmy have an Abigail?
Everybody here has an Abigail.
Everybody has an Abigail. Who are we kidding? Everyone has an Abigail.
So she tells the cameras, Rob didn't tell me anything, so I don't know what that was about. And he tells the camera, we'll deal with it when I get out. Oh, he says we'll deal with it when I get out. So maybe there's other charges.
Maybe.
Maybe he has a kid that she doesn't know about.
Ooh, that would be good.
Could be something.
Maybe he's got another girl. Well, no, he's married. But I mean, he could have another girlfriend for sure. Oh, but I don't think he'd have time.
He's wired up another house.
Maybe. I mean, but he's constantly in contact with her.
That's true.
How is she affording to live?
Unless he's sending her money. We've seen that before where the prisoner is sending the money. I don't know.
We absolutely have.
We don't know what kind of sit she has with the father of her children.
True.
I don't know.
True.
So
something's not going to be
I feel like these kids are pretty independent and they're a little bit older. I think she could work.
Absolutely could work.
Yeah. So he says, this is one of the only secrets I'm holding from Teeny. Then they go to Rising Eagle Brewery and the kids are like, we're so excited to have our dad home. We're so excited. And then they tell us, like, he watches us on the camera and he yells at us.
Okay.
Like eating on the couch. Da, 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 da. Could you imagine your father being just omnipresent?
No. And second of all, this man is not their father.
Right, we don't know what the relationship is like with their
No, we know what Teeny's telling father. Us the relationship right. is. Well, we know what Teeny's telling us the relationship that he has with her kids. Do her kids feel that way, or is that the relationship she feels like they have?
Is this a Robin Brown sitch?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know. It's not good.
So Teeny says, oh, he always has those cameras on. He notices everything.
This is fine. Everything's fine. Nothing at all weird here.
Then she goes, like everything. It's pretty ominous.
Yeah.
On the way home, Teeny says to her daughter, thank you for standing by me through all of this. And the daughter starts to tear up a little bit. And she says, you know, I'm excited for him to get out because then I'll have my weekends back to be a kid rather than having to go to visitation every week. Are you fucking serious right now?
That was when I was like, oh, no, no.
No.
This kid needs to go be a kid. She does not need to go be traipsed into prisons to see her mother's prison husband.
Agreed. Like, agreed.
This poor kid.
So now we're going to bop over to Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, which is literally in my backyard.
Let's go to Wilkes-Barre, the town that no one knows how to say the name of.
Yeah, guys. It's one of the only hyphenated cities in the country. And it's Wilkes, like John Wilkes Booth.
Right.
And Barry, like Barry Plath.
Right.
It's like B-A-R-R-E. If they had a baby.
B-A-R-R-E. You'll hear people say Wilkes-Barre, Wilkes-Barre.
Even guilty of sometimes I say Wilkes-Barre because that's like the shorthand, the quick.
Got it.
That
I always thought it was Wilkes-Barre when I was a kid.
But it's Wilkes-Barre. Yeah, it's named after some guy whose last name was Barry.
Mm-hmm. Spelled that way. Yep.
So Ayana is 27 and she's a dancer.
Mm-hmm.
And Jamal is 36 and he's in prison for drug trafficking.
Sure.
Okay. So let's bop on to Wilkes-Barre. Mm-hmm. So Ayana has a cute little girl, and her friend Nay has come over to watch the daughter as Ayana's going to go with Lexi.
Yep.
She's hanging out with Lex. Because we find out Ayana's driver's license is suspended.
Right. Ayana is having her own challenges with the law
while her boyfriend also has legal challenges. Jamal pretty soon.
I think so, too. Mm-hmm. I don't think this is going to work out well for Ayana.
So she works at Dream Girls, which is a very problematic, notorious nightclub in Wilkes-Barre.
Okay.
It's across from the Latoteca. If anybody's interested, it's on Mundy Street.
Okay.
I've been there. It wasn't Dream Girls when I was there, though. It was something else.
Does it have a weird name? The reason I asked that, so in Conshohocken, another Pennsylvania town, there was a place called Seventh Heaven.
Oh.
But its nickname was, for everybody, the Conshohocken Ballet.
Oh, okay.
So if you were going to go there, you were going to see the Conshohocken Ballet.
Gotcha. Yeah. No, it didn't have anything like that. And I forget what it was. I want to say it wasn't a strip club. It was a dance, like a nightclub.
Okay.
When I went there.
Nothing says class like a Wilkes-Barre nightclub.
And it's almost it's almost like a refurbished, like the building used to be like an Ethan Allen.
Okay, got it.
And it's in there. Okay. All right. So that's like a
where once Raymore Flanigan, now a strip club.
That's like where I live now, down at the end of my road. Mm-hmm. Used to be the North 40, they called it, because it was off exit 40 of 81. And it was like a real dank strip club. Okay.
Got it.
It's now a nice restaurant.
Sure.
And so we go down to the North 40 for breakfast. And you're in there and you're like,
This used to be a strip club. So, take the girls there and be like, that's where the girls danced, kids.
I'm all for repurposing buildings.
Oh, sure. I have no problem with that. Yeah. But it is funny. Like, there's a place around here. Actually, it was a family that I went to high school with, Nudies. And they have like a breakfast, lunch kind of thing. They close at 3 o'clock. But they're real
Nudies?
Popular. Nudy, apostrophe S.
Cute.
Super popular breakfast place. But they seem to be in this path right now where they take old banks. Oh. And turn them into restaurants.
Yes, we so used to go to one. It's kind of funny
because the drive-up window is still there. They just don't use it.
Yeah.
It's just very strange. But
there's
I like
one in Westside that did that, and it was beautiful.
Mm-hmm. They did. They've done a beautiful job with them, but it's like, this was very clearly a bank at one point.
And people don't know what to do with churches either. We have a million abandoned churches here.
I've always wanted to buy an abandoned church and turn it into a house.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's been done.
Very, very cool.
Cool. My kids used to, one of the soccer people in here in this area bought a church and they used to have soccer practice in it. It was real weird.
That is odd.
It was odd.
And I like that you refer to somebody as the soccer people. Some of the soccer people. Okay.
Well, you know, I mean, that's as much as I know about sports.
Okay. Back to Ayanna.
She says when she was growing up, she wanted to be an anesthesiologist. But, you know,
that took 12 years.
So her ass is assing when she's on the stage here at, what is it called? Dream Girls.
Mm-hmm. She also wanted to be a lawyer. First, she wanted to be an anesthesiologist. That was 12 years too long. Yep. Then a lawyer, 3 years,
also too long.
Mm-hmm. Or 7 years, actually, with undergrad. Yep. So now we're a stripper.
Yes. And she's
a logical progression.
She's back. How stupid am I? When they first said she's a dancer, I'm like, I wonder if she does the ballet. And then I'm like, wait, this is Wilkes-Barre. So she's backstage with her friends, and you hear club music just boom, boom. Wait, hold on. I got it.
There you go. You've got the music.
I got a call from my lawyer. I got to go take a call from my lawyer. I guess I'm going to jail. DUI. What? Don't talk about your love life. What? Yeah, there's a lot of that going on. It's like me with my second college roommate who would just be just constantly from downstairs. And I'm like, I'm just trying to read my latest John Lennon biography. Like, what are you doing? Leave me alone. I'm typing out the Demir Times on my IBM. Leave me alone.
With your two VCRs in your room. You're very busy.
So she doesn't want to dance until she's 40. You know, she's got to do something. But she says, you know what? Every night I'm making $600 and I'm like, damn,
dude,
do I need to go up to Dream Girls and apply for a job?
Do you think they'd take this, Amy?
They would
be
like,
the tricks she did on that poll. I don't feel like you and I can do that.
They would be like, you want to be our accountant, maybe? Like, what do you want to do here? I'd be like, no, I want to dance. I want to get up on the pole. You want to clean the stage? What are you here for?
Do you want to be the one to order the food and the booze set? Are you the supply chain person for this place? That's the job I feel like we could have.
Yes. So $600 a night.
And tax free.
Probably, right?
Are they
1099'd?
They probably are, but they still probably declare like a little bit of their tip money because you have to. Mm-hmm. No one's going to believe you're not getting tip money.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I don't think we're declaring $600 a day. Maybe we're declaring like $50 a day.
I think the IRS looking into this is the least of the problems going on.
Look at us. We're like, well, how is the IRS? What form do you use to manage this money? I don't think these are the questions these folks are asking.
No. So she just wants her kids to have a good life because Jamal comes home in less than a year, you know, and she's waiting for him to get out.
Of course.
So she says she and Jamal were, okay, now here's a story. They were buds. They were friends. Mm-hmm. And he was dating her ex-best friend. Let's give this ex-best friend a name, shall we?
Barbara.
Barbara. Because, yes, I'm sure a 20-something in Wilkes-Barry is...
Say Barbara. Yes.
So she and Jamal and Barbara were all living together. Then he got locked up, but he says he always had feelings for her, but he was dating Barbara.
Right. Okay. He couldn't do anything about it. Mm-mm. This guy seems like exactly the kind of guy who would never cheat.
Right. But then they never pursued it because he was dating Barbara.
Okay. Right.
But they reconnected, he and Ayana after he got incarcerated. So she tells the camera he is perfect in every way. And she starts going through the ways. But the most important is he has a third leg.
Yes, he got a big dick. He got a big dick.
They're chatting and her lawyer calls. Okay, so we get a little...
What could possibly go wrong?
Oh, hold on. I got to take this. Hello? This is Ayana. What are you saying? I'm going to jail forever.
Ma'am, can you please be someplace quiet? I can hear you. Ma'am.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me? What are you trying to say? We get a lot of that. Okay. And he's the public defender, and she was arrested, we find out, on a second DUI charge. Now, this is interesting.
This is interesting.
Because she says she was pulled over for speeding on her way to work, as you do. I mean, who amongst us?
Yeah.
And they said the car smelled like weed and they did a sobriety test and she got a DUI. I didn't know you could get a DUI from weed.
You sure can. Driving under the influence. It's like.
But how do they test that? Because here's my question. What if you smoked 2 weeks ago? It's still in your system. That's
true. You're still going to not pass a drug test. Yeah. I don't know how they test for that.
I don't know either. Backdoor friends, come at us. Yeah. Tell us how they test for that.
I mean, blood alcohol is easy. Mm-hmm. Breathalyzer's easy, but I don't know how you do that with weed. But yeah, I absolutely know you could get pulled over or, you know, get busted for DUI. It doesn't just have to be booze for it to be a DUI.
Right. So the lawyer doesn't seem to be calling with good news.
This lawyer, I think, is tired of Ayana's bullshit. That's what I think. And having been married to a public defender, a lot of your day is like, I can't believe I have to go deal with this bullshit now. Because all of these people are just trying to game the system somehow.
Because he basically tells her, like, this is your second charge. You're going to do jail time. You're going to do it. So she says, I got kids. I can't do this. And he's like, well, it's going to happen. And she says, look, I am the sole provider for my two kids. And she tells the camera, I'm going to miss my kids. Talking to my man is going to be a problem here for me.
Duh.
Yeah. So she also has a record from some fights. Okay. And we see one. And it's a TikTok of her beating the shit out of Barbara.
Correct. I really don't feel like you want to be on Ayana's bad side.
I really don't feel like
that's the place you want to wind up.
No. Mm-mm. She scares the shit out of me.
Yeah.
I went to high school with a lot of people similar to her threatening rhetoric and level.
Way of being. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's scary.
Yeah. No. So the lawyer's like, I think it might help if you did an anger management class.
It can't hurt.
Now,
it certainly can't hurt.
In the ultimate irony, she gets angry that she has to go to an anger management class. She's real pissed off about this. And she's like, you know, this pisses me off. And then she starts talking about like being high while driving and how this is so stupid. She starts crying. She hugs her friend. She sobs. Again, we had the club music through the walls. And she tells the camera, you know, I see me and Jamal having a bright future together, building the house and raising kids. Girl.
Not to say that that may not happen, but I feel like both of you are going to be, as my mother would say, guests of the county or guests of the state before that's going to happen.
And you got to fix the here and now before
the future.
Work on the future.
Correct.
So fix this. And then, go off and build a house.
Correct.
Sure. Okay, now we're going to the stars of the show.
Okay.
Andrew, he reminds you of Andy and Brittany, right?
Yes.
From last season?
Yes, very much so.
Very much so.
Very. She even looks kind of like Brittany. Like, it's a situation.
So Andrew, 40, is a warehouse supervisor. Mm-hmm. And Candace, 29, is in jail for burglary. They are in Greenwich, New Jersey, which I don't know where Greenwich, New Jersey is.
So I looked it up.
Okay.
I do. It is South Jersey, but on the Delaware River side. So like, you know, if Cape May Point's kind of the bottom of New Jersey, like it kind of looks like we almost come up as much as maybe like Wildwood, but on the other side.
Okay.
So it's that kind of area.
All right. Gotcha. So
Bridgeton is the closest town.
Okay. Andrew and his bro, James, they're loading up the truck because Andrew's girlfriend, Candace, is getting out of prison in a few days.
She's getting out of the pokey. His buddy had to turn his shirt inside out because clearly we're wearing a Nike and we have to turn that out.
Yes. Yes.
This is the quality of Love After Lockup, people. Yeah. They don't bother with the blurring. They just
paying
make
you for a blur.
Mm-mm. They just make you flip your shirt.
It's on Prison Brides, they just didn't even give a shit. You just wore Nike right on the screen.
That's right.
So she calls as he and the bro are chatting it up, and we learn that she's in prison for burglary. They've been dating for 2 years. And apparently James is the yokel who got him onto this data prisoner website.
Thanks, James.
I do mean thanks, James, because this is going to be
a good story. I don't think this is going to be a good situation for Andrew in the long run. But James, thank you for bringing us these two people.
Seeing this guy
is going to be entertaining.
Seeing this guy be taken for everything he has is going to be funny. I'm sorry, it just is.
Because he is going to be taken for everything.
Now, if it's tragic in that, like, his children need these resources and he's not getting, we don't know the story yet. But right now, on the surface, it's funny.
It's funny.
Because
he is dumber than a box of rocks.
Candace says Andrew is so sweet and so pure. Of course. And he says he knew from the letters that they had a connection. And I caught one of the letters was dated 2022.
Okay.
Just time stamping.
Got it.
So she wanted very quickly to be exclusive. She had to lock this hot piece of ass down.
Who else would? I mean, Amy, you got to get that one in because there's going to be millions who might be interested in him.
So Andrew is setting up an apartment for Candace in Las Vegas for $1,400 a month.
Pretty cheap apartment because remember, Mama Debbie went apartment shopping when Colty was going to give her the boot. Couldn't find anything at that price point.
And I will tell you that she's only staying there, Amanda, until she can get everything in order to move to New Jersey. Sure. Let's put bets on how long that's going to take. I'm saying a year.
I'm going to go until the 12th of never.
Okay. So she says she has a program to do for 2 weeks. And then she'll go to the apartment he has set up for her, and she'll stay there until she can move to New Jersey. And I wrote, never going to happen.
Never going to happen.
Mm-mm. He's also giving her a truck. Now, I want to talk about this truck for 1 minute because Mr. Timmy has weighed in on this.
Oh, good. We've gotten a consultation from Mr. Timmy. Good.
This is a Chevy Silverado. Okay. Looks brand new. At least 60K. At least. Okay?
Why?
You need, when you, listen, pro tip. When you are sugar daddying someone.
Yes. Okay.
Whether you're male, female, whatever.
Right.
If you're in the position of sugar mommying or dadding.
Sure.
You buy them a little Fiat. You buy them a little. The what do you Josh and Natalie this.
There's no universe in which somebody needs that level of truck to live in Las Vegas.
No. Mm-mm.
I'm sorry. Like, that's like when I see people like around here with those trucks that like are very clearly clean, like. They're clearly not doing like construction, farming, things where you have to haul lots of shit.
Yes. Yep.
She doesn't need this.
She doesn't need this.
Honda Civic and be A-okay.
Even if she had to have a truck.
Right.
You get a Nissan. Tiny one. You get a Honda. Well, Honda's good. You get a Nissan.
Yeah. Whatever. You don't need.
No.
Yeah. This is not
good. You get one that's 10 years old.
Right.
Timmy
it's
bought
in great shape.
During the pandemic, which was 2020, he bought a 2003, I think, Toyota Tacoma.
Okay.
Paid $5,000 for it.
Right.
We had it until this year. We just got rid of it. It was fine. He put like 100,000 miles out in 4 years.
Fine.
Okay. So we learned that he's been married and divorced twice. And his previous relationship was with a woman who used him for his money, Amanda.
But this one's not that, Amy. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. No. Candace is not that kind of person. No. She's sincere in her love for him.
So Andrew now shows James an engagement ring and James is like, you're an idiot.
Right?
Guys, one of the best tropes of this franchise is the friends reading them for filth.
Friends who are like, the fuck is wrong with you?
It's what great. It's fantastic.
Because all of them have one friend who's like, come on.
So now Andrew goes to meet with the financial planner, also fantastic character.
Sure.
He tells her the story about getting the apartment in Vegas. And, you know, then we get a little thing from Candace where she's telling us, I'm real excited to see the apartment and drive the truck. Oh yeah. And see him too.
I want to see Andrew too. Yeah, it's fine.
The financial planner's going through his budget.
Oh God. I love this woman.
Okay. All right.
put her in the pantheon of great advisors to people on this show.
Yes.
This is Paul Di Dolce level of Danielle and Mohammed quality lawyering. Go on.
I agree. The financial planner's like, okay, so your mortgage is $1,300. Well, he's telling her.
Yeah.
His mortgage
is $1,300. She's just writing this down on a random legal pad. This is clearly a very formal review of his finances.
I will tell you, I have thought about this long and hard. I could totally be a financial coach.
I think you could do it too.
Because I am obsessed with financial stability.
Right.
I was a total fucking train wreck for most of my life and I turned it around. I feel like I could help other people turn it around.
Can you help me turn it around?
I can help you turn it around, girl. Awesome. So his mortgage is $1,300. Her rent is $1,400.
Right.
The truck payment is $750 a month.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, he does have a kid that he pays $450 a month support. He is paying over $2,000. I hope the baby mother's not watching this.
Yeah, if I'm finding out he is giving his prison girlfriend over $2,100 a month.
And giving me $450
for our child? Ugh, you can just write off with that.
So his monthly, and you know they base your child support on your income. He has not updated that paperwork in years because there's no way $450 a month with what he's making.
And that's actually on the baby mama.
Yeah, well, somebody has to get these to child services or whatever you got to do.
Yeah.
So I guarantee she'll be going after she sees this season. Mm-hmm. His monthly bills are $6,240. He makes $3,400 every 2 weeks.
Okay. So we got $6,240 and we're coming up with $7,200.
Okay. So let's figure out if we can what we think he makes a year. So $3,400 times 26, at most, right?
Yeah, because I'm getting every 2 weeks, not twice a month.
Okay. Yeah, me too. Yeah. So that's $88,000 clear. That's what he's saying, right? That's
a lot of money for a warehouse manager.
Well, I think he's in the energy business, right? Doesn't he say that?
Then maybe that makes sense. Okay.
Okay. So that's $88,000. So you pay about 30% in taxes, right? So let's do plus 30%. I don't know. I'm thinking he makes maybe $130,000, $140,000.
Wow.
No, I think more than that.
No.
I'm doing this wrong.
Listen to us try to do math. This is never good.
$88,000 plus 30%, right?
Times. So what you want to do is multiply 80 times 1.3.
I'm still getting like 114.
Okay. It's not more than that.
Maybe. Okay. So he's making six figures.
He's making really good money.
But he's also living in an expensive area.
He's living in a less expensive part of an expensive area.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Yep.
Because it's real world. It's real like farmlandy where he is.
But you want to make a bet. I can whip this guy into financial shape. Oh, I'm telling you, I could. I'm going to start. I'm going to open a business.
Okay.
So she says, you have no breathing room. Mm-hmm. And he says, should I get another credit card? No.
She's like, No.
So she goes, you don't want to be broke. And then she goes, or do you want to be broke? And she's like, you need more income, not debt.
Right. Yeah.
You need to get better, she basically goes. And he's a huge fucking idiot. And I wrote, first of all, the truck is the problem. And we already talked about this.
The truck is a big problem.
So now he leaves and he says, being in love with Candace is worth being broke over.
Of course. Because she's a really great partner to him, Amy, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure.
She provides him a great deal of solace in the words of Robin and Cody Brown.
And guys, the reason we can talk so much shit about this is because you know this guy only fucking wants her because she's hot.
Right.
That's it.
The thing about these relationships, 90% of the time, is they are purely transactional.
Yep.
On both ends.
Yep.
And it's usually the guy or the lady or the person on the outside who's way crazier than the one on the inside.
Yeah. And he wants a hot piece of ass who has some issues and needs to depend on him.
Right. He wants a project.
Yeah.
He wants a hot project.
Well, why not invest that project energy into your fucking kid?
Right.
So
here's a project called raising your child.
4 hours later, she calls him. And he just casually mentions that he went to a financial advisor and she goes bananas.
Oh, my God.
Because what she's hearing is someone's going to tell you to stop sending me money.
Exactly. Someone is going to help you wise up.
Yep. And she's pulling a Brittany on Andy. Like, she's like, we never talked about this. I thought everything was fine. What are you hiding? What are you hiding? Why'd you lie to me?
Why are you broke? Do you not have the money you say you do?
Yep. And then she says, I said I would get a job right away. And you told me, no, just chill. Like, again, control, control, control.
Yep.
And she says, don't ever hide anything from me again. She hangs up on him. And that's it.
Candace is scary, Amy.
Yeah. I can't wait to see her take this idiot for everything he has, yeah, though.
It's not good.
I don't have next time on because we're lucky we found the episode. That's let alone true. Previews yeah, for next
time
week.
On is real hard yeah. on this.
So, guys, this is Love During Lockup. It's gonna be good.
It's always good. Oh, my God, these people.
It's gonna be good. Are there any real couples you're thinking? Now, we didn't meet Shantae and True. We'll meet them right. next week. But are there any – do you think any of these people are real? I think maybe the only ones are Joey and Michael.
I think Joey and Michael are real. I also think that Teenie and What's His Bucket might be real.
Yeah, because they're married.
They're married. He's crazy. Mm-hmm. This is not going to go well. But I think they are a real couple.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't think they're a healthy real couple. Well, to be fair, none of these people are healthy couples.
Right, yeah.
But like Candace and Andrew are not real. She is just taking him for all he is worth.
I'm here for every minute of it.
Oh my God, he's a dum-dum.
And I'm terrified of Ayana. We haven't really met Jamal yet, so I can't make a judgment there. And
I do like Ayana's hair.
Ayana's a gorgeous woman.
She's gorgeous. I really love anybody who can pull off a pixie haircut.
Yeah, and she really can.
And she really can. She's gorgeous.
And her ass is assin'.
Mm-hmm. Her ass can do things I can't even dream of.
Yeah.
My ass doing. Even if I like grabbed my hands and tried to move my ass in that way, it wouldn't happen. Oops, sorry. It wouldn't happen.
All right, guys. Again, thank you for listening to this. If you like what you hear, sign up for the entire season. Follow us on Patreon, Supercast, Apple subscriptions, where we're going to see where these idiots go and what happens.
Cannot wait.
They're not so all idiots, but they're idiots for love. And they who are. Amongst us has not been?
Cannot believe we're back here. I'm so happy. I missed this.
All right, guys. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you soon.
Take care, everyone.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.